The reading this morning is from Psalm 33. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth and all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How do we know we are really and truly loved by someone? It could be a gift, it could be a bunch of flowers, it could just be a small act of kindness. It could be lots of things. There are ways that we show our love to people or know we are loved by other people. Now, those are great things, but this morning I want us to come and see a whole new level of love in this psalm. To enter in and witness and be surrounded by what's called the steadfast love of God. That is his unfailing, his settled, his solid, his faithful, his certain, his protective love. And in today's psalm, that kind of love produces a whole level of response, of praise, of fear, and deliverance from death. So as we join with the psalmist this morning and witness God's steadfast love, I hope and pray we can be changed by it. So I'm going to pray to ask God for his help with that now. Father God, as we come to this psalm this morning, please help us to be changed by your steadfast love. Please help us to look to the Lord Jesus and the love shown in him and be changed by it. Amen. So let's jump in in verses 1 to 7. And if you're making notes, I've called this first section, Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's done in verses 1 to 7. Now, this particular psalm doesn't come with an authorship at the beginning, like many psalms do. It doesn't have an inscription. But yet we know that the author, whoever he might be, was fully inspired by the Spirit, as we'll see how this author directs us and our attention towards God and his love, which in the first instance commands praise. So looking at verse 1, we're immediately just hit with this exhortation to praise God. And now we're not even told why to praise in the very beginning, but just to praise. So as I read these opening verses again, I want us just to join with the psalmist in our hearts in singing these words as we join this chorus of praise. It goes from verse 1, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." From the very first verse, God's chosen people, Israel, are told to shout for joy in the Lord. Unhindered, unashamed exclamations of pure joy. God is the object of their praise because he has chosen a people for himself who are right, who are upright in his eyes. And verse 1, praise befits the upright who are seeking to do God's will and follow his commands. It's fitting for them. And the praise isn't just limited to voices. We have the whole musical instruments added in to form an orchestra of praise. God deserves this praise, this level of praise, joyful praise. And that's very clear from the opening of this psalm. And I might ask myself, when was the last time I praised God like this? Even just in my heart, shouting praises to him. It truly is a corrective to me to think that God deserves this level of praise. And why? Well, the next few verses give us the reason why he deserves this praise. Verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses." There are many reasons to praise God. In the same way that we might sing and cheer at a football match to celebrate a goal, or clap at a concert to acknowledge the orchestra, here we praise God, we shout praise because of what he's done. The word of the Lord is upright. Yes, God's word is living and true and good. Praise God. All his work is done in faithfulness. Praise God. He loves righteousness and justice. Praise God. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Praise God. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Praise God. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Praise God. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. Praise God. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Praise God. God is amazing. His creation, his word, his steadfast covenant, committed love. That is why God is to be praised. And in echoes of creation here, we are reminded of his creative force and his power in creating the heavens by his words and gathering the waters up in a heap. And all that is done with the words of his mouth. So while the psalm's original readers and hearers would have been in a very different situation to us, we have the same God. Isn't that awesome? So I do invite us this morning to join in this praise and enjoyment of God, and especially for his steadfast love, which endures forever, then and now. That steadfast love phrase comes up a number of times in this psalm, as you'll notice as we go through. The underlying Hebrew word speaks of covenant love, committed everlasting love. A beautiful thing which applies to us just as much today if we're trusting in God through Jesus. We too have received his covenant love through Jesus. And so as we reflect on all that God has done, we too must sing praise to God thanks to Jesus. Moving on to the next section, in verses 8 to 17, this bit I've called "Fear God, for he is greater than all human power." Fear God, for he is greater than all human power. So looking down at verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, So here believers are instructed to fear God, the meaning of which is expanded upon in the next verse. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So a fear of God here is closely related to being in awe of him. In awe of what he's done, like we just read about in creation. And in verse 9, we see those echoes of creation again. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. His words are enough to bring creation into being. Any of us could try and fail to speak something into being, or even just to command nature to follow our instructions. If we try and calm a storm or still the sea with our words, we're going to come off looking very stupid. We don't have that kind of power. So for the one who can do those things, who does do those things, how can we respond in any other way but dumbstruck awe? And building on that, the psalmist goes on to show how God is greater than all human powers. Verse 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. The Lord brings the counsel and plans of the nations to nothing. He foils them. He frustrates and thwarts people's plans. In contrast, his plans stand forever, extending to all generations. And we do know this to be true in everyday life. The best laid human plans maybe might last a few years, maybe a few decades, but very rarely do they go beyond the end of our lives. And in the context of this psalm, the psalmist is providing a reassuring tone. People come and go, foreign nations plan and scheme against God's will, but ultimately these plans come to nothing. Only God's plans will succeed through all time, through all generations. And if we think of God's overarching plan of salvation in the Bible, coming to fulfillment in Jesus' death and resurrection, then we can demonstrably attest to this fact that God's plans have stood the test of time, through Old Testament, through New Testament, and extended to all generations, past, present, and future. His plans truly do last for all time. Now let's look down at verse 12. And we see here it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Now coming in right in the middle of this psalm, we have this lovely interlude talking about the privilege of being counted as God's people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There are many competing gods in the world, maybe not just from world religions, but anything, any other thing which commands time and attention, anything we might tend to worship, which isn't God. There are lots of other gods vying for our affections. But there is only one God, one Lord, our Father God, the God of Israel, perfectly revealed in Jesus. Blessed are the ones who have him as their God. Him, not anyone else. The other nations, they don't have him. Blessed are the people he has chosen as his heritage. God's people, extending down through the generations, are his heritage, chosen to receive blessing and inheritance. And then following this, we come back to that theme we introduced a moment ago about God being greater than human powers. And as you'll see from the next few verses, nothing that the whole world can muster is any match for God. So from verse 13 we read, the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those documentaries where you get those amazing aerial views of the country of Britain from the air. Maybe when one of those people is up in a helicopter or a plane, and they're looking down on the country, and you see this amazing landscape and patchwork of fields and towns and even cars going by. Well, God's vantage point is not just looking over our country. We just have to zoom out a huge amount to see where God sits. Because God doesn't just look down from a helicopter or a plane. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. He sees everything. In fact, he looks out over the whole universe from his vantage point in heaven. That's God's perspective. And when he looks out, what does he see? He sees armies. He sees strength of warriors. He sees war horses. And the conclusion, these will not save. They will not provide deliverance. They cannot rescue. In fact, they provide false hope. It's a damning verdict, especially if we expand it wider and think not even the biggest, most powerful army ever raised in the history of the world is any match for God. Those things cannot rescue. China has the current largest army in the world with over 2 million troops, I'm told. And at the height of the Second World War, the US Army had 12 million troops. False hope. False hope. Sure, these armies may provide temporary deliverance from a threat. That's true. But God looks down, and the psalmist says that none of these things can rescue or provide salvation, no matter how powerful they might look. That salvation can only be found in God's steadfast love. Which brings us on to our third and final section. Third section, hope in God, for his steadfast love will deliver from death. Hope in God, for his steadfast love will deliver from death. It's verses 18 to 22. So verse 18 begins with that familiar pattern of fearing God we saw earlier. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. God's watchful and loving eye is on those who fear him, who stand in awe of him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Believers can place and do place their hope in the solid, enduring, covenant, faithful love of God. You see, God's steadfast love is so certain and unfailing and enduring, it is the best place to put and pin one's hope. Although we may not reciprocate God's steadfast love from our end. In fact, we rarely fail to keep our side of the bargain by loving him as much as he loves us. That doesn't matter because God is so committed to his people, to those who trust through Jesus, that those who are hoping in his steadfast love will see their souls delivered from death. Verse 19. Deliverance from death for Christians today has been provided by Jesus. The pinnacle of God's steadfast love was displayed at the cross at which Jesus died. God's plan of deliverance involved his son accepting the penalty for sin, death, so that all those who are believing and trusting in him need not face eternal death, but can be counted righteous before God and receive eternal life. Jesus took the sting out of death in his body on the cross. So I would say to you, if you have not yet experienced the steadfast love of God expressed through the death and resurrection of Jesus, then this would be a great opportunity to come to him today and experience that by placing your hope and trust in that love to see you through death and beyond. But what happens in the meantime? That's a great future we have to look forward to, a wonderful future where death doesn't have its sting anymore. But for now, we wait. Look down at verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Our souls are waiting with a positive, confident, patient trust that God will bring his plans of deliverance to fruition. That was the case for the hearers of this psalm when they first read it. Those who trusted in God's promises back then were counted righteous before God And for us now, again, we wait eagerly, expectantly, and with great, great trust in God's love and all that entails. Because this same God is a help and a shield. He protects, and we can be glad in that here and now as we hope in him. So the psalmist finishes in verse 22. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And I hope this is something that we can pray and own for ourselves, to ask God that his steadfast love would be upon us as we continue to hope in him with great confidence, knowing that his plans will come to fruition. His love never fails. In all the ups and downs of life, these truths about God never change. You might know on the reverse of a US banknote is a very simple inscription: in God we trust. In God we trust. So as we wait for Jesus to come again and redeem his people and take us to eternity with him. I hope and pray we would trust, hope that he will bring us through death to eternal life. Psalm 32, which Jono preached on last week, said that God's steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. So this morning, however we might be feeling, let God's steadfast love envelop you. If we're trusting in Jesus, let that surround you and hold on. And if not, please come to God, not trusting in your own strength, but trusting fully in him and salvation through Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you this morning. Thank you for what you have done in creation, which you spoke into being. Thank you that you are more powerful than all the armies of the world. Thank you that your steadfast love is so faithful and so committed and so perfect. Thank you that through Jesus you demonstrated your steadfast love for us. Might we today be people who praise you for who you are and what you've done, and live lives where we wait, trusting that your steadfast love will one day bring us home to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.